From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Chain of Grace, part of a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. In verses 10 and 11 of the chapter, we read of the body being dead because of sin, and the spirit being life because of righteousness. In this passage, Paul is declaring that the death of a believer is the last of three inseparable links in the chain of grace, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Paul is emphasizing again that no effort of the flesh can bring about the salvation of the soul. Only God the Holy Spirit can do that, as he applies Christ's merits to the heart of the sinner. This is what the apostle meant by the expression, "The Spirit is life because of righteousness." In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 13. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Garment rending and other outward signs of religious emotion are easily manifested and are frequently hypocritical. But to feel true repentance is far more difficult and consequently far less common. Men will attend to the most multiplied and minute ceremonial regulations, for such things are pleasing to the flesh. But true religion is too humbling, too heart-searching, too thorough for the tastes of carnal men. They prefer something more ostentatious, flimsy, and worldly. Outward observances are temporarily comfortable. Eye and ear are pleased, self-conceit is fed, and self-righteousness is puffed up. But they are ultimately delusive, for in the article of death and at the day of judgment, the soul needs something more substantial than ceremonies and rituals to lean upon. Apart from vital godliness, all religion is utterly vain. Offered without a sincere heart, every form of worship is a solemn sham and an impudent mockery of the majesty of heaven. Heart-rending is divinely wrought and solemnly felt. It is a secret grief which is personally experienced, not in mere form, but as a deep, soul-moving work of the Holy Spirit upon the inmost heart of each believer. It is not a matter to be merely talked of and believed in, but keenly and sensitively felt in every living child of the living God. It is powerfully humiliating and completely sin-purging, but then it is sweetly preparative for those gracious consolations which proud, unhumbled spirits are unable to receive. And it is distinctly discriminating, for it belongs to the elect of God and to them alone. The text commands us to rend our hearts, but they are naturally hard as marble. How then can this be done? We must take them to Calvary. A dying Savior's voice rent the rocks once, and it is as powerful now. O blessed Spirit, let us hear the death cries of Jesus, and our hearts shall be rent, even as men rend their vestures in the day of lamentation.
My advocate.
Have you ever wondered what the message of each New Testament book really is? Not just the meaning of a phrase, a text, or even a chapter, but the central message of the entire book? If so, we're happy to offer you the opportunity to obtain a means of doing just that. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached a series of messages in which he explained the teaching of each of the New Testament books. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. A Sure Foundation tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has recently obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're now making them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. To reserve a copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Request your copy of A Sure Foundation today.
theologians down through the centuries, and in former centuries they spent a lot longer going into this, and they gave it a whole lot more attention than we do today. Sometimes to hear Protestants today, they lump all, for example, they lump all medieval theologians together as the schoolmen, and they're all rubbish. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it for a moment? The reality is that many of those men give a lot deeper thought to this than many Protestant theologians today. And it's this, that anything that is done other than with a pure motive of love for God is a work of death and a work that will ultimately call forth damnation. The mere acts of the body have no power to justify, and they have certainly no power to sanctify. That's why we need the absolutely perfect obedience of Christ. That's why the whole backdrop to this teaching of Paul is that we have imputed to us the perfect righteousness of Christ. Because everything that Jesus did was out of a pure, unsullied, perfect, and infinitely valuable love for God. He was the only man who ever loved God with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind. He is the only one who said that he delighted to do the Father's will and did the Father's will with absolute perfection. That's the only work that has ever been able to produce a true righteousness and a true merit with God. And that's why here in this epistle, we are constantly reminded that it's the righteousness of Christ that we must have if we're ever to stand accepted in the sight of a holy God. The body is a body of sin. The body is a body of death. It's the instrument that sin employs in its long war against God and His Christ. And therefore, it can neither be the root cause, the efficient cause, the instrumental cause, the cause of in any way of our justification or our sanctification. Because death reigns in this body. And it still does in believers. See, that's what Paul is dealing with here. This is a problem for Christians. And every one of us feels it. Death reigns in the believer's body. How often Christians so stumble over that that they leave themselves open to all sorts of strange teaching. I'm sure many of you, probably all of you, have heard somebody or other say at some time that healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. Christ not only bore our sins, He bore our sicknesses. Isaiah tells us that. Matthew quotes that text and says that it was true of Christ. So healing is in the atonement. And then they go on to argue that since Christ died to put away your sicknesses, just as truly as He died to put away your sins, you should not get sick. And if you do get sick, you should get healed. And if you don't, it's because of sin. The wilder segments of the Pentecostal and charismatic movements take this to great extremes. I have known of cases of people sucked up in the craziness of those movements. Say when struck down by cancer, I'm thinking of one woman in Northern Ireland. She sent for her evangelist, her minister, and they laid hands on her and they told her she was healed. And this happens very often in cancer cases. There was a remission for a little while. And then came back that dreadful disease, even worse than ever. And she was facing death. And in comes the same preacher. And with the utmost cruelty, and diabolical treachery to the Word of God. He looks that dying Christian in the face without a word of comfort from the gospel, simply to tell her, it's because of your sin and your unbelief. So now she's dying. But it's because of sin. She can't get through to God because she mustn't be getting through to God. Because He's not answering prayer. He's not taking her cancer away. And then it gets even worse. Well, if He hasn't taken my sickness away, how do I know He has taken my sin away? And this is a violent repudiation of God's Word that these people are peddling as Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. It's not what the Bible teaches. You see, think of the folly of the logic. They will tell you Christ died for your sins. Therefore, what? Your sins are gone. That's what they tell you. And that's true enough. Christ died for your sins. Therefore, your sins are gone. Christ died for your sicknesses. The proper parallel would be, therefore, your sicknesses have gone. It's not that you should not be sick, but you can't be sick. Of course, they don't see that because the same fellows who preach all this stuff, they need contact lenses. Some of them wear wigs. I remember asking a fellow who was big on this notion that you just had to pray and you'd got absolute healing every time it was guaranteed. I asked, why are you going bald? Why are you losing your hair? Don't tell me that doesn't matter. I mean, that's just telling us the same. It's not, obviously, I'm not trying to trivialize this. I'm not equating it with cancer or some other dreadful disease. But it's as sure a sign that you're going to die as if you had cancer. And it's the utmost hypocrisy for a man who has one sign that death is working in his body to slough off any suggestion that it might be because of sin, but then go and torment a poor soul who's facing real sickness and real trouble and real suffering and death staring her in the face. And not of a word of comfort. That's a hypocritical and terrible thing to do. You see, Paul, when he deals with this, doesn't say Christ died for your sicknesses, put away the condemnation of sin against your body, therefore you'll never get sick, you'll never die. That's not what he says. What he says, in effect, is yes, Christ died for the whole man. This is the genius of Christianity. He not only died to give you an immortally sinless and happy soul, but He died to give you an immortally sinless and happy body as well. But, says Paul, and he does this in this very context, the redemption of the body is yet future. Verse 23. He says, we ourselves which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. He's saying now, the Spirit dwells in you, but the body is still dead because of sin. The Holy Spirit does not, by indwelling a Christian, He does not at this stage deliver His body from the consequences of the fall. And therefore believers still suffer, and believers still sicken, and believers still die. You know, the devil often uses the advent of sickness to attack the reality of a Christian's faith or the reality of a Christian's salvation. There's no mercy. You should never be taken by surprise here, and yet we always are. There is absolutely no mercy with Satan. And when you're at your lowest, that's when He'll kick you in the foulest way. And when you're at your most vulnerable, that's when He'll attack you with the most hateful and spiteful of lies. And when your body is weak, that's when Satan will come and say, God has forsaken you. This must be because of sin. And you know, sometimes, this is the part, I don't want to sound too exasperated, but I want to tell you, I do get exasperated with the stupidity. And some of you parents, forgive me. I know you train your children not to use the word stupid. But sometimes it's the only word to use. Because if I were to use other words, they'd be much stronger. But I do get exasperated with the absolute rank stupidity of many Christians, and even worse, of many professing preachers. And there is that suspicion when somebody gets sick. Must be because of sin. There's always the tendency, and it's just an expression of the rotten Phariseeism that's innate within us. There's always the tendency to seek to equate sickness with sin. Now, in some cases, there may be an equation like that. The sodomite who lives in his sodomy and contracts AIDS as the direct result of his sin. Sometimes there is a direct connection. But for the vast majority, the connection is more remote. It is back to the fact of sin. That sin in which all humanity participated in Adam. The body, therefore, on account of sin, is dead. So Paul speaks of physical death. But since this is such a huge thing, he goes on to speak of spiritual life. And he says, that's only on the one hand. On the one hand, the body's dead on account of sin. But on the other hand, the spirit is life. The spirit is life. And it's on account of righteousness. Now those are simple words, or at least so they appear. And they have engendered centuries of controversy. What's the meaning of the word spirit here? Does he mean the Holy Spirit, or does he mean the human spirit? Most modern commentators, at least many of them, seem to take the idea that it's the human spirit. For example, Dr. Hodge, and I think again John Calvin, my memory's right, but certainly Dr. Hodge said, the body and the spirit. The antithesis of the human body is the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So the body's dead because of sin. The spirit is alive because of righteousness. That sounds very good. Except for one small problem. It's not what Paul wrote. Paul, by the way, that tends to be a problem that many interpreters overlook. They like to interpret and exegete what they think should be there rather than what is there. And he didn't say the body is dead and the spirit is alive. If he said that, it would be the human body and the human spirit. But he says the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life. And I cannot find anywhere where that is said of any spirit but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is life. And furthermore, when I look in this section of Romans, Paul is using the Greek term that is translated spirit. He's using it again and again. And in every other instance in this connection, it is always a reference to the Holy Spirit. And so I read that the Authorized Version got it exactly right here. As usual. I'm not going to get into that. But as usual, it's right. The Spirit, with a capital S, the Spirit is life. You see, the answer to the deadness of the body is the life of the indwelling Spirit of God. That's the answer to the deadness of the body.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.